KDUS AM 1060 Tempe Phoenix and KSLX HD2 Scottsdale Phoenix is brought to you by AC by J Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Drains.
This program is paid for by Good Vibes Media.
Coming to you from a wrong turn off Route 66. Somewhere in the Sonoran Desert, it's James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks.
Good evening, Phoenix and friends. How are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? James Out West, as always, with me, Ryan Rooks, Pat the Stat Guy. It is Monday, April 25th, 2022. Season of basketball is winding down. We still have football.
We have the week of the NFL draft.
That's very exciting.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Which, come to find out, it will be in the WADA.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they were going to do a couple years ago before COVID, and it's going to be interesting to see if they pull it off. I mean, maybe this is where the draft should be, period. Vegas, the lights, the glamour, everything would be great.
So you were saying, are they really going to take boats? Or are they going to have like a little?
So that was the conversation 2 years ago. I don't know if that's what they were going to do now for this one. Like, that was what the plan was pre-COVID when they had the draft and then decided to cancel it and do it, you know, virtually with, you know, Roger Goodell sitting in his chair in his basement eating M&Ms.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Remember that.
So, I mean, it could be. I mean, NFL news and notes, as always, you know, this is slim pickings time in the NFL. Granted, we have the draft, which is ecstatic, but like, nobody's really getting signing anybody because we have the draft coming up. No one's really getting traded because we have the draft coming up. So there's a lot of things that aren't happening right now, but we do have news.
Yeah.
So before we get into all that, how was your weekend?
It was good. A lot of baseball. We wrapping up club ball with the family, but it was good. It was hot, a little windy.
It was very nice.
Allergy still going, just like full, I'm sure.
Yeah, it caught up to me this week. I was like, no.
Yeah, it's been good. But just staying busy. It's basketball is like my life right now.
Right on.
It really is just watching as much basketball and it being on pretty much, you know,
every night almost. Yeah, it's
nice. And they're exciting games. And the fact that Brooklyn just got swept.
I mean,
this was unreal.
Am I surprised that this team didn't win a series? No. I mean, Steve Nash, first-time head coach, getting out-coached by guys that have been coaches longer than him. Surprise.
I'm surprised how bad KD played. I'm surprised how much of a shift we saw in the transition of Jason Tatum becoming this. He's been really, really good for a while, but now he did it and guarding KD at the same time. We can get into it more in basketball. I know we're kind of shifting.
Yeah,
but
so let's get into football first. Real quick, so just because we always talk about Cleveland first, that's how this works.
Yep.
Baker got a statue at Oklahoma unveiled over the weekend at the spring game there. It looks terrible. It looked terrible inside. I think it was the lighting. It looked like he had a really big forehead and his hair was really back. Didn't look like him. Once you got it outside and they had it out, it's very nice. But but the sculptor, he put two right feet on Baker. Both the shoes are right footed. And
that
he's
makes sense.
Making the Heisman sign. It is, look, I mean, it's Oklahoma. I mean, what are we going to do?
So is he also going to go on a couch and just sit there and complain about it? Now too.
No, and you know what? If you listen to that entire hour
and
20,
try and save him.
No, I'm not going
it.
To. I'm not going to. But at least, like in doing so, it was like about him heckling the fans, or you know, what if I showed up to your cubicle and things like that. Like
right
after he said it, he was like, I probably shouldn't have said that. Like, you know, and he kind of joked it all, like, laughed it off a little bit. I mean, I don't have a. Again, we've talked about it. He should just be quiet.
Yes.
And the way that it went down kind of happened, according to the guy that runs that You Never Know podcast, that it kind of happened organically. They live five houses down from each other. That dude's moving to Nashville. They're in Austin. He asked, you know, Baker's like, hey, we should get together and chat. And then it just kind of happened. Obviously, they were going to talk about Cleveland. Obviously, they're going to talk about that stuff. And yes, he should feel disrespected, but that doesn't mean that you didn't put yourself in that situation. And you continue to put yourself in a situation where you're not at OTAs, because that'd be a distraction, and you're a lame duck quarterback. Granted, you're going to make $19 million this year, regardless.
Yeah, but
regardless, you're going to make $19 million, but what does that say for next year? Like,
so does he move with the draft?
So Carolina said they're not trading. This is a statement, so this is interesting. That they're not trading for Baker Mayfield before the first day of the draft.
Okay.
If at all. So I think to them, it's they want to see how it shakes out
with the
draft-wise to see if they're going to be able to touch a quarterback that they think is higher worth than Baker. I still think Baker ends up in Seattle.
Okay.
I really do, because Drew Lock is not the answer there. I don't think they're in full tank mode, and he could fit the scheme of being able to throw the ball up there. You know, he's going to do the same things he always. It's a character flaw. Same thing with Carson Wentz. These guys don't leave any play behind. They want to make every play We can't lose. And instead of taking the sack or throwing it out of bounds, they force a play, and usually it's a bad one. Pat Mahomes does it, usually works out. Aaron Rodgers does it, it usually works out. Brady does it, it usually works out. These guys, it doesn't work out for them very often.
I love how casually you said that. Like, that's just like, yeah, it usually works out. Like, well, there's a reason why.
Because they're really good. I get that. And they make good decisions. I get that. But,
okay, thank you.
So, yes, I do think eventually he'll get traded. I don't think they're going to cut him. I think they're probably going to have to eat some of his salary. Just to get him off the book, so to speak, to get him out of the building, to give him a fresh start, you know, yada, yada, yada. I thought maybe even Detroit, because John Dorsey's up there. He's the one that drafted. Hey, buddy boy, you want to be the number one pick of the draft?
But they just did that for Goff. They're not going to.
Right, but how many years does Goff have left on it? I know they're not, but I mean, that would make sense, like, as far as fit, somebody that's familiar with him, because that's who drafted him.
Yeah, if you feel comfortable, he's going to keep his mouth shut and be fine sitting.
Well, I think their head coach, Dan Campbell, would stuff him in a locker. If he was running his mouth, he'd give him a swirly. He'd hang him upside down on the toilet.
I just don't know who. I mean, really, you don't want him in the building. The only person I probably wouldn't want in my building, and this is obviously the NBA, but Ben Simmons, it's like the same thing. You just don't want to be around them.
Oh, there's like top five guys I wouldn't want in my building. I wouldn't want Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Ben Simmons. There's three right there in the NBA I wouldn't want in my building, period.
And with what Mayfield, he's brought this onto him, mm-hmm. like, so much. He's causing this. It's not like it's something to where it is a – I mean, he did have a lingering injury, mm-hmm. right? But the way that he's handling and the way that he is actually hurting
himself. We kind
of
made it sound like they made him play when that was not the case at all.
No.
That is not the case at all, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, we're spending way too much
time. So
let's
move on to the next bit of information in the NFL. Debo Samuels.
Yes.
So I'll let you go on, because I probably have a little bit. Go ahead. You go with what you got, and then I'll talk about what I got.
Well, I'll start it off with, first, you see the clip. Did you see he was in a club?
The club
this
clip.
Weekend,
I saw the club clip.
And you got all the bottles and the fireworks going off, and you see Debo staying with the 49ers. And then all of a sudden, the phone zooms in. You see Debo about three rows back and just... Nope to the neck.
Giving the cut it sign?
Not happening. Nuh-uh.
So did you hear past that?
So then we have Lynch coming out today.
No, you're hold on. Whoa.
Oh, am I skipping?
You're missing something. So the owner of the club came out on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, go ahead.
And stated that, hey, that's not what he was saying. He was saying no to the bottle service that was about ready to be brought up. I talked with him, not me, but the club owner said he talked with them all night. You know, he probably will get his money. You know, don't worry about it. We want you here, da-da-da-da. It's neither here nor there, whatever. He was at the club. He was having a good time. The question before that, though, is on his stepmother's TikTok Live.
Yes.
She is a music and sports-like manager. Okay. Not an agent, but a manager. And she was doing her live thing, and Debo is in the background on the phone. And Debo's on the phone with A.J. Brown, and they are talking about contract situations and how their agent, Tory Dandy, if I'm getting his name correctly, I think I am, was saying, like, they know you can get more than that, more than 20, but they're not going to give you more than 20.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to make you an offer. And so he's like, what's going on? Well, she asked who that was, and he's like, oh, it's A.J. Brown. She's like, oh, hi, A.J. Brown. Hey, wasn't he in the draft with you? And he's like, yeah, okay. And they just went on. He had no idea that that conversation was live.
Yeah.
So it leads to an interesting situation of them saying, no, we will sign him. We'll sign him.
Yeah.
And him saying, well, you've never made an offer. So someone's lying. Now we get to what John Lynch said today.
Right. So he's saying that he doesn't see any way that the Niners are going to play without Debo and or a trade scenario. Now we
can't imagine trading him.
I mean, we've heard the Jets. We've heard a couple different teams. It's going to come down to the draft. I really do think that if there's something around the draft that we can get rid of, and I say this, get rid of, Garoppolo has been really, really good for us. Even though he's gotten a lot of slack, he's not exactly that peak that we thought he was. He was too injury prone. However, if we can get rid of him and clear some of that salary, I think Debo gets paid this year. If not, we work out something to where he's going to restructure. I don't see him going anywhere because it's going to take way too much. And the fact that the reason why he is a high commodity right now is because he's a dual threat.
Mm-hmm.
He is a wide receiver. He is also a running back.
But he wants to get paid for both.
He doesn't want to do that, but he wants to get paid for both. And if he's going to go to another team, they're going to expect what they saw.
Sure, but if they're paying him Tyreek Hill money, I think he'll gladly take the 85, 90 carries a year. Pat brought up a good point. They have a replacement for him in the role that he plays.
Yes.
They have a replacement for him on the roster already. It's just a matter of, do you want to pay a guy or do you want to get assets for him? Yeah, he can never imagine trading him. Doesn't mean that he won't.
Correct.
Doesn't mean he won't. Pat, you want to tell me who that guy was, by the way?
He's referencing Brandon Ayuk, little ASU guy.
Oh, yeah. He came up in the, as one of the Yak brothers. Like this,
he's
is
a very, he can play that same role, so to speak.
Yeah,
of being both in that offense, especially if you have to go with Trey Lance versus Jimmy. Jimmy right now is untradeable because the shoulder being the issue that happened. He's with him not throwing yet. This put a damper on their trading ability of him.
Yeah, and it's being so fresh. We haven't seen enough.
What's going to have to happen is one of these guys. God forbid, you don't want anybody to ever get hurt, but you need a guy to get hurt in training camp or in preseason somewhere else that's going to say, we need to trade for Jimmy G.
Yeah. There's just
because that's what you're going to have to, because guess what? His guaranteed money is not, it's like $1.7 million is his only guaranteed money right now unless he's on the roster week one.
Yeah.
So if Jimmy's on the roster week one, it's like $24, $25 million. But before that, if he's not on the roster, it's like a $1.7 million guarantee. That's all it is.
That's not that, yeah.
It's not that much, but they're not going to cut him.
No.
And they're not going to do it just to save the money because they can't get him.
No,
they can get something for him. So you guys could look very different than you did just this past season.
And even better. We really could.
Guys could also stink.
When there's this much around as far as hype and different players that are available, we're actually literally hearing, no, we're just going to wait till the draft now. Like you said, we're mm-hmm. in that lull. Till Thursday morning, we'll start hearing some rumblings. And then in the evening time, it's going to start happening. I think there's going to be some crazy mix-ups. So for any of those people who are putting bets down on what's going to happen in this draft and what you're going to try and pick an order, that top 10 is going to get mixed up.
Well, that leads us to the next topic of, you know, everyone's trying to move back in the draft, not up. Because everybody's...
They know what's out there, and they know where they can move.
What I am hearing is... What was that? Anyways. What I am hearing is that these guys, that there's maybe about 18... first round grades on players.
Yeah.
Like total. Well, there's 32 picks.
Right.
So someone's going to be taking a stretch. You know, someone's going to have to really believe that this guy's available. And maybe that's another reason why some teams traded out. Like you've got your guys, or not you guys, but Green Bay's got two picks. Kansas City's got two picks. There is room for movement.
The Jets have two top 10 picks.
Indy doesn't have a first round. Cleveland doesn't have a first round. You got a lot of stuff happening that there's going to be very good players that come out of this. Just we don't know who there's not that slam dunk.
No.
But we'll see in a couple years. There'll be some guys that come out that'll be all pros.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. And we're not going to see. We're not used to a quarterback. There's only been one that hasn't been a quarterback in like the last 7 years, 6 years.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that on the other side. KDUS 1060 AM Phoenix. Home of the Dan Patrick Show. Rich Eisen and James Al West. See you on the other side.
Keeping the sports topics fresh and honest is Bob Kemp with the Sports Zone. Heard weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. on KDUS AM 1060 and KDUS1060.com.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, CJ, as always. James Out West, Ryan Rooks. Before the break, we were talking about NFL, talking about the NFL draft coming up. You know, is it a weak class? Obviously, this is smokescreen season, so information we're getting. You know, odds changing for who's going to be the first pick in the draft. You know, for the last, 3 months, it's been Aiden Hutchinson's a slam dunk number one pick. Now it might be Tre'Davon Walker. Probably saying his name wrong. Apologize. Dear Lord, I apologize.
Yeah, and he shot up, too. And it was just today.
Yeah, changed today.
Junior out of Georgia, 6'5", 272. I mean,
edge rusher. I mean, he's going to – listen, he probably has – well, they say he probably has a higher ceiling than Hutchinson, but does he? What I want to know what their reasoning behind him being, oh, he's got a higher ceiling. Is he that much more bigger, stronger, faster? Because I don't know that he is.
I mean, Aiden
Hutchinson, as much as I don't want to give anybody from the state of Michigan credit, he's a stud. And he's a really smart player. And when you can match the athleticism, the smarts, the scheme with a guy that's going to go out and compete, not saying that Tre'Davon Walker won't because I have no idea. I'm assuming he is. I'm assuming he's a dog.
Yeah.
Being that he's a Georgia Bulldog. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he absolutely
is. I get
it. It's just.
I get it. But it's like, well, here's the thing. Jacksonville has nothing to lose, to be honest. If you want to take the gamble, take the gamble.
Well, they wanted to go after an offensive line supposedly this whole time to try and shore that up. However, now you're going to go after an edge rusher. And it's not even going to be that Aiden.
It kind of makes sense that Hutchinson ends up falling to Detroit and giving Detroit the distinction of making one of two choices. Either not drafting the local, superstar who grew up in Michigan, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Like in Detroit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Played at the U of M. And then... University of what?
Michigan.
Okay.
Michigan. I was trying to be polite to you.
I know. I was going to stop. But thank you. I heard you.
Thank you.
To them not drafting him, and if they wouldn't draft him and he's on the board and they're taking a quarterback, I mean...
Okay, so let me ask
Let the jokes fly, because it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to reach it, too, for a quarterback that...
No, not you can't this year.
Are we sure that Detroit... Yeah, we're talking about the Detroit Lions.
Right, but they're still rebuilding. I can see them doing well. They got to get away from Goff eventually.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be this year. Doesn't have to be this year.
He can bridge, right?
That's two more years.
Okay, so let's flip this. Let's say you're a player, okay? The James Clark is going to get drafted. Would you rather be number one or number two, eliminating the number one pick, just saying that going to Jacksonville or going to Detroit?
I'd rather go to Jacksonville.
You would?
Hands down.
Okay.
You're asking me to want to live in Jacksonville, Florida, with and I'm a millionaire and I have no state taxes, or I'm living in Detroit?
Okay.
I'm good, bro. I'm not living in Burning Hills, Detroit, Michigan.
You're also going to be on a team that just had the coach of Urban Meyer.
And I'd rather have... Yeah, but they're all gone. I'd rather have Doug Peterson than Dan Campbell. And I like Dan Campbell a lot.
You don't want to...
excuse me. I like Dan Campbell a lot. But if you're asking me, I can live in Jacksonville, have a nice life, play on in a nice stadium. Granted, it's not indoors. But it's coming from... Both teams are a dumpster fire as far as... Are they going to turn around and be playoff teams next year? No. So I'd rather go where the sunshine is.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if, and I think that players think like that now, where before they didn't, and maybe before they didn't have the right. We're seeing this, like, swirl in the NFL, like the NBA had, where players are just forcing their hands. Like, right. I am done being here. You're going to move me. And I kind of respect it in the sense of, like, we're not used to it. So, like, historically, we'd be like, you know, we'd be dogging them, like, oh, this guy's a quitter, or, you know, whatever. Right. But sometimes it's like, look, Debo knows he's going to get this money. Like, he knows he can get this money, and now's the time to do it. If San Francisco's going to pay you, but maybe he just doesn't want to be there anymore. That's like Devontae. He just didn't want to be there anymore. And he's like, look, I've done this. I've been wanting to play for the Raiders. They're my hometown team because they were in Oakland. He's from there, and he went to Fresno State. He played with Derek Carr, all that stuff.
Right.
Got to play with this dude. He got to have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, maybe the greatest thrower of the football, per Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp say, that the purest thrower of the football in Aaron Rodgers. But he was done living in Wisconsin. He's done with the cold. He's going to go play with his boy, make a ton of money. The team's willing to pay the piper, because they did. They gave a lot of picks and stuff for him, to give him the money he was going to get anyway. So it wasn't even a money thing. It was, I want to play in a different destination. I've been in the cold for so long.
Right.
I get it. I get it. I'm at the point now where I'm like,
is there a difference between running back and wide receiver money?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So
a lot.
If Debo plays another year under this contract and basically they turn him into a running back, he loses money, right?
Kyler, check it out.
He's got to try and get that wide receiver money.
Ugh. Well, sorry.
But he is listed as a wide receiver, though. That's the thing. It's not like this is the tight end situation.
It's not like, where they were saying pass catcher.
Right. But so you're talking about the shift with this. I mean, we saw, as far as players sitting out, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, right?
Yep.
We saw that.
And it never.
And you can go all the way back to Carson Palmer, right,
yeah,
with Cincinnati. And that kind of started it, but that was like, dude, you're quitting on your team. Well, people were still giving him stuff. Now we are starting to see the shift where these players are actually going to pull the strings of owners, these big, powerful NFL owners, which are probably some of the most powerful men in all of sports, right? Besides maybe soccer worldwide. It's going to be interesting. I don't know if it's going to work for – like, is it just a certain number of players? There's maybe a half a dozen.
Yeah, I don't think the left tackle who starts, but he's not a superstar, can demand getting traded.
Right.
It's got to be a premier position: running back, quarterback, linebacker, defensive end, quarterback. Like, you know, you got five, maybe running back. That's it. That can really demand it. Or if you're a superstar stud at your position, so to speak,
or
superstar safety. If you're, we had one, Jamal Adams.
Yeah,
he did. He forced his way right
out of New York, and then Seattle gave up a lot for him.
Same thing with Jalen Ramsey. And we got to remember, too, the tides have changed in the NFL so much, ladies and gentlemen, with who's running teams now. In the last 20 years, I think team ownership has turned over maybe 10 teams, have had new owners in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years, how many new GMs have there been? Probably 40. Between moving things around
to
50, you know. Last five. How many young coaches? Look at all these head coaches now that played in the league, didn't make it long in the league, like Kevin O'Connell, like the Minnesota Vikings, which, if you got to catch his interview today on Pat McAfee, was tremendous. I would be I would be excited if I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan for what this guy's going to bring with him and Kurt. I think it was really interesting. It was a good interview. If you get a chance and you're a Vikings fan, because I know a lot of you Minnesotans are still out here, give it a whirl, listen to it. I think it was a great interview. But looking at, like, all the different young GMs, young coaches, they play this game strategically, differently.
Did you go to Michigan?
Yeah, bro. No kidding.
Sorry, I didn't.
So you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They play it differently now. So, yeah, I would never trade a talent like Debo. But if I'm going to have to pay him, and you're going to give me 2 first-round picks, and I don't have to pay him, and I can just plug somebody else kind of in and get around the same production because my scheme is that good.
Right.
Then I'm going to do that all day long,
right?
Collecting those assets,
right?
Because that's what turns these things around. Like real quick, like Kansas City, Did you think they were going to trade Tyreek Hill?
No.
Did that thought ever come to mind?
Anyway, I mean, you can say that about some of the
and some of them came out of nowhere,
receivers
like out of nowhere. Well, and that's interesting too because a lot of them have the same agent. So Debo's agent, AJ Brown's agent, DK Metcalf's agent is all this that guy I said earlier today, and I can't remember his name now, but Dandy. Last name, Dandy. Dandy. So this might be a step from these. Don't put it past these agents to be working behind the scenes with one another saying, hey, we're going to start doing this and forcing them to do it because they're starting to get cut out. Agents are kind of starting to get cut out. Some of these guys get through the first contract. I mean, some of them are, look at Lamar. He didn't have one at all.
Yeah.
But like some of them are getting through the first contract and like, okay, I can do this myself.
Yeah.
I had the guidance, but why am I giving you $4 million? Now, because they don't just have sports agents. Most of them have a marketing agent. Most of them have a saying what?
That Lamar doesn't need. Where I said he
needs doesn't to go need an agent. He doesn't. I don't believe he does. I'm saying more players are going to find themselves in not needing an agent. You need one in the beginning. In the beginning, sure. Lamar. This is interesting with Lamar because he didn't have one in the beginning.
Right.
But also, when you're a rookie and you get drafted, your salaries are kind of structured already. They know what they're going to basically pay you based on where you were drafted. It's a matter of the guaranteed money of that. That's where the contract comes into play. But they already know that whoever's picking number one, they're getting X amount of dollars. That's when they restructure this, they know this already. It's the second time around that you can go and get yours.
And what's going to be really interesting is in what, let's say the next 3 to 5 years when we have these high school kids who have already been getting paid for 3 or 4 years, right? Now either went to a year or two of college or sat out, played, whether it's basketball, NFL, and they have this experience with an agent. Are they going to use that education?
But
and apply
they're not allowed to have. They're not allowed to have an agent in college, even though they're getting name, image, and likeness.
Okay,
it's not an agent. They have to
a firm. So they sign with
a firm.
Or, you know. Okay, so
a company. They're privatized companies who are not agents.
Part of that world, right?
A little bit,
and they're
yes.
going to be. They're going to be. I'm sure they're going to be in meetings. They're going to see. They're going to represent their brand. They want to make sure that they're signing the right things to show when these teams are coming to knocking. And that draft comes up.
Sure.
They're up there. And they're representing their own brand at that point.
Yeah, because that is a lot of it now is it's your own personal brand and what you're bringing to the table.
We're going
to
see these guys walking up in their suits, and their brands are going to be all over their suits. Their
Which
own
is very
brand.
Smart.
I mean, yeah.
It's very smart.
Why not?
They all sell something.
Everybody wants to, when you're trying to promote something, whether it's on social media, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on TV, you're doing it to obviously – make more money for yourself, right?
Yeah, and that happens. Oh, my goodness. And during, like, the Super Bowl week, during, you know, like, Radio Row, when everybody's out there, you know, and everybody's sitting in that, you know, the Civic Center, and there's, you know, 700 radio stations and TV stations there covering it. You have guys that are going around, and they're all selling something. They're doing these interviews because I'm brought here by Old Spice, or I'm brought here by, you know, Dandy, or I'm here brought by this CBD company, or I'm brought here by whatever. And it's funny because if you are a sports nerd like we are, you know, we listen to a lot of different people and watch a lot of different people, you'll see the same guy do 7 interviews in one day.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see how differently they go based on the person interviewing it. Like, Dan Patrick will – shout out Dan Patrick. KDUS's own Dan Patrick. Go ahead. He's very – because he's been doing it for so long, he's very good at, like, getting the guys to be open up and talk and have a real conversation.
Then we get to the
branding of what you're trying to sell.
Yes.
Sometimes they come on and they're trying to sell things. Like Jerry Rice did one a couple years ago on a show. Dude, I think the interview lasted 35 seconds. They had to get him off the air. It was terrible. All he wanted to do was talk about the barbecue sauce, the barbecue sauce, the barbecue sauce. Yeah, Jerry, you're one of the greatest. Yeah, but you know what's great? Is this barbecue sauce. It was like, all right, you got to get out of here.
Was it Troy Aikman that had the beer, the light beer or something? He was talking about it. There was the same situation, and it's just like, come on.
They're not good at it. They're not used to doing that. So
no.
All right, well, on the other side, we are going to finish up a little bit more on the draft. Then we're going to get the NBA playoffs. A lot going on. MLB, if we can get to it. Same old things.
A little bit of baseball. I got some
umpires stink. KDUS 1060 AM, Phoenix, Dan Patrick Show, Rich Eisen, James out west. See you on the other side.
Come on, man.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
All right, before we get into basketball.
We got James all hyped
up.
Oh,
my gosh.
On the break.
So before the show started, you guys got me hyped up with your ridiculous takes on the top 10 players you put on two teams of basketball all time, 5-on-5. We're not going to get into it. It's for another day when the news will be slower, which is coming up, so we will dive into that. But real quick, wrap up NFL.
Okay.
Draft this Thursday. First round, how many quarterbacks do you say go? Over, under, and I think they have it at 3.5.
In the first round?
Yeah, first round.
So,
because that's Thursday. Thursday's just round one, and it's like 17 hours.
As of right now, Malik Willis will be picked, this is per mock, right?
Yeah.
They say going to New Orleans. Now, that's going to be the 15th pick, or 16th pick, excuse me. I say just because it's a quarterback, I'm going to take the over.
Okay, so you're saying...
I don't think, honestly...
Willis, you're saying Willis, Pickett, Corral. Who's the other one? Is there a Howell?
I mean, you're going to... But here's the thing. How many players have we seen to where they jumped up dramatically on that day?
Sure.
As a QB?
Yeah, no, it does happen. But are any of these guys showing any of the, like... For Deshaun Watson to go like at 10, he was a superstar in college. Pat Mahomes, even though he played at Texas Tech, people didn't watch him a lot, and they moved up, and everybody was what are they
North
doing
Carolina.
Moving up? Yeah, thank you. So, like, you got these guys. I mean, Howell's not a first-round talent. Matt Corral's probably not a first-round talent.
Pickett?
Pickett's probably not a first-round talent.
Maybe with a little bit more.
Willis, honestly, is probably the only first-round grade just because his ceiling is so high.
Yeah.
And his command of football as far as, like, understanding schemes, knowing how to move the ball. Like, yeah, he played at Liberty. Well, he had a really good head coach in Hugh Freeze. Like, they're trying to become like the Notre Dame of like the East Coast. You know what I mean? They're a Catholic school. They're a beautiful, beautiful campus. They'll go and play the big dogs. Like, they'll go play somebody like a Fresno State. Like, hey, we'll go play a big school like Fresno State does. State will go play big schools. Liberty does the same thing. Malik Willis has the ability of... As long as it's not the Detroit Lions doing Detroit Lions things and taking it with the second pick overall in the draft, I think that's a reach. But the middle of the first round makes sense.
Yeah, I would say.
I said it last year. The Steelers took Najee Harris. I knew it. I was calling it for months. They're going to take Najee Harris. Just fits. Malik Willis fits the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I hate that because they're probably going to draft him.
So, well, they have in a mock, they have, was it Ritter?
Desmond Ritter. That's the other guy.
So those are... I would say have a chance.
Taking the over? I'll take the over.
Yeah.
Someone will reach.
We're talking about wide receivers and the over-under, and we're close, I'm still going the under. But when it's a quarterback, people are willing to way too much into it, and we've seen it fail so many times, but yet.
There's going to be a lot of stud players that come out of this draft, though, especially at the receiver position, cornerback position. You got Sauce Gardner.
Linemen.
There's good offensive linemen.
Safeties, corners.
Like, it's just because it's not the quarterback. That the draft is like kind of, we're going to try to trade. If everybody's trying to trade back, there's some people are going to have to be trying to trade up. Because you can want to trade back all you want, but if you don't have a trade partner, it doesn't matter.
Which is why I think that it's so crazy this year. It's with how deep we are with wide receivers and the talent of wide receivers we have coming out in this draft, that this happened this year with all of this craziness of signing wide receivers to huge money.
Huge.
Yeah. Like, just unreal. But it is the NFL, and when a trend happens, it's real quick to follow. It's the next domino that's going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And they fall real quick, and then there's that pause, and then we'll see another three or four.
Which, and that's why, like, you have all these, like, Jarvis Landry, Juice WRLD out there. You got OBJ. Granted, he's going to be out for a while just because of the injury purpose, so he doesn't have to sign right away. But you got a lot of receivers that are on the market that are available, and I think everybody's just waiting for the draft. The dominoes will fall, like you said, so we can go, okay, now we know that Green Bay did what Green Bay does and not take a receiver in the first round, even though they have two first-round picks. Watch, they will find a way to not do it. But maybe that's the plan. We're going to take the best player available with our two picks, and if the receiver's great. If they're not, we'll go sign one of these guys. Because could you imagine Jarvis Landry in a Green Bay offense? He'd be very good with an Aaron Rodgers. Well,
supposedly, was it Waller? The Raiders and Green Bay are in talks.
What?
I saw this today.
You telling me that he could get, no, I did not hear this. They could get Darren.
Am I breaking some news?
You're breaking some news.
Okay, so yes.
Which makes me want to go check your sources. But yeah, continue on.
So yes, I will pull this up. Actually, Pat, would you mind checking into this for me so I can prove James wrong again? And then it's a funny thing that whenever I'm right, you always want to move on and not talk about it this week.
That's how this works.
Yeah, I get it. I know my place. I understand.
You understand the show.
Okay, so.
You get the show.
Let's shout out. Can we now transition into NBA?
Yeah, finally. We can get to the NBA. NFL, even on a slow week still.
It still takes up two segments. We can't. Right. It's the over-under is always going to be over.
Oh, always. All right. So.
Okay, so far, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Biggest surprise and best thing so far in the playoffs that we've seen, or that you've seen?
Ooh. Biggest surprise? Well, I guess it is and it isn't. What the Pelicans are doing right now, being 2-2 with Phoenix.
Okay.
We're going to get into that, from the refs to is Phoenix in trouble, everything that's going on with that. But the reason I say it's a surprise, but it's not, is knowing that Willie Green, head coach for New Orleans, was with this Suns team, has been with Monty Williams every day at practice, knows these guys' habits, their ins and outs, what they like, what they dislike, how to guard them a certain way. And we're seeing that in another series, too. Or we just did see in another series, but that series just got swept out. But very similar situation of, you look at Brooklyn and the Celtics. Celtics just swept Brooklyn. Steve Nash, right?
Mm-hmm.
His assistant head coach last year is the head coach for
Boston
this year.
Right.
So he understands how to play. I mean, you can't guard Kevin Durant, quote unquote. You know what I'm saying? But like,
he also has coaching experience.
How to get into these guys' skin. How to defend them the right way. How to take away certain things that they like and make it hard on them.
And they brought in dogs for this team to defend, too.
So it's like that's what made it so much worse. So, yes, do I think this New Orleans, it's a fun story. They're playing with a lot of, emotion right now, and that was at home. But Booker doesn't get hurt. This is 3-1. Let's not get a Yeah. Look, for some reason, Chris Paul he's one of the most unluckiest players in the NBA history. With injuries and things happening like last year with what happened with him.
Yep.
And then this year what happened with him. Now at Book, like something always happens to this cat, whether it's to him or somebody around him, that like this is a concern, but if they can get it fixed and get past this round, I think they still can make it to the East, to the Western, to the finals, win a championship.
It's a concern when you take Booker out, who is a huge deal, but yet you lose two games in a row. To me, that's not a championship team. Other teams would be stepping up, and they're going on runs where the Pelicans will be up by 12, and then all of a sudden they'll be up by 4.
Yeah, well, and we're going to get into this, actually. We have a clip to play. Coach Monty Williams talking specifically about the lack of calls being fair, let's say.
Okay.
The label on the series is, whoever gets the 50-50 balls, gets to the spot first, doesn't give up the effort plays, is typically coming out the winner. But I'm going to say this, 42 to 15 in free throws. You can slice it any way you want to. In a playoff game that physical, that's amazing, okay? And coaches shouldn't have to come up to the microphone and feel like they're going to get their heads cut off for speaking the truth. It was 17-2 in the first half, and then they end up with 42. That's hard to do in a game like that. And it's not like we don't attack the basket. That's really hard to do. And so, look, they outplayed us. They deserve to win. But that's a free throw disparity that you have to look at.
And when you're – now, digest what he said. He was very – I mean, he's just very polite, and he's very respectful. And he's trying to – criticize the refs without the refs.
You could hear the thought process that he's trying to put into
the frustration
and to make it as polite as possible.
But we cannot. But he's right. You saw the difference. If you watch the game, you see the blatant. It's like, wait a minute. The refs again are going to make sure. Hey, we're going to make sure this game goes this series at least goes 6 games.
Yeah,
like it does feel like sometimes in all sports, it feels like sometimes these refs make such bad calls. It's like, are you on the take? Are you that inept? Like, it's one of the two. Either you have a personal reason on you doing this, which is a problem, or you're that inept that you're calling these things. Like, we've seen flagrants not get called and then go to video replay and say it wasn't a flagrant after it clearly was, and then the NBA have to come out afterwards and go, during Thursday night's game against Kansas City, it happens all the time. There should be repercussions for these things. There absolutely should be repercussions. Like this crew that did this, are we going to now watch them again to see what happens? Bet you if this crew refs this same, let's say this goes, well, it's going to go at least six. So let's say it goes six or seven. Does this crew get to call again? I'd be curious to see what it looks like then. If they're going to try to make up calls, because you know that happens.
And it's really hard when you are watching the game and when you're playing in the game, and you, as a ref, when you see things and things are getting chippy, you try and control the game within the moment of what's happening, right? You don't want it to be over-escalated. You're not thinking about, okay, well, I've just called five fouls in a row for this team, correct?
I don't know if they
do. At the same point, that much, you're talking, what, 30, almost 30 of a difference?
17-2 in the first half. The Suns only took two free throws in the first half. Okay.
So that's concerning.
And then and then Coach had one more thing to say.
I've looked at a number of angles on that call. Jay hit the ball. It hit Ingram's leg. And then Jay's hand hit his thigh after he hit the ball and the ball was gone. And so I'm like, what do? You know what I'm saying? But that's a huge disparity in a game like this. That's hard to swallow.
And he got a technical at that point. Like, you know, and for Monty Williams to get a technical, it probably has to be very egregious.
But that's where that has to get corrected. Like, there's no yeah. when that's slow motion and you can see that.
Yes.
That was, you can't have that in the game.
If and it happens all the time.
Replay, we're going to have these players just sit there twirling their fingers around like, hey, constantly just replay because you guys got that wrong.
Yep. Now.
But then are you opening it up to slowing the game down way down?
Well, it's not every time. I mean, it's got to be in certain, like, monumental. Like well, I mean, but you can make it quick. You can make it quick. They decide to take it longer. First off, I wouldn't even have the ref that's sitting there watching it on the screen, having to sit there and look at it going, hmm.
Nope.
And they're looking on a screen that's the size of my laptop. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a small laptop. There's, like, have somebody in New York doing it. You put names to it, though, and get them in their ear.
Yes.
Hey, this is what's happening. We've already reviewed it. No reason.
The whole game they're in. Yes. Yes.
All right. So, when we get back on the other side, we'll continue into this. Is Phoenix in trouble? Ultimately, I don't think so. GSW, and not gunshot wound, but Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
They look like the old GSW, and I hate it.
They're often.
I hate it.
They're assassins.
We're going to talk about Ben Simmons.
The lack thereof.
And this is where me and him are not the same. All right, KDUS, 1060 AM, Phoenix. I know I said it. I'll say it again. Dan Patrick Show, Rich Eisen, James L. West. See you on the other side.
Come on back.
Welcome back to James Out West, featuring Ryan Rooks on KDUS 1060.
Thank you, CJ. As always, James Out West. Last segment of the evening. Phoenix Nights. Beautiful night out tonight. It's kind of a nice day. We're going to get into finishing up the NBA playoff talk. We're going to get into, real quick, the Most Improved Player of the Year award was given out earlier this evening, and it went to
Ja Morant. And then given to Bane.
So let's talk about that real quick. So, one, I mean, I understand Ja Morant did improve. I get that. I get it.
I don't know where you're stuck on this. So
It just does, because, like, there were so many other players that, like, Bane, I'll give, that's the first one right there.
Right.
Darius Garland. DeJounte Murray went from being a guy who was just a guy, nobody, to being an all-star and a 20-plus point game score.
Okay.
Okay. Ja went from Rookie of the Year, All-Star, top 10 face of the league, not player, but face. They market the hell out of him.
I wouldn't say top 10.
He's probably number 10. They market the hell out of Ja Morant.
Last year, this year, yeah.
So, to me, it's like, okay, and he even knew. So I'll give him this. He has awareness. I really like his game. He has awareness, and he was aware that he shouldn't have won this thing, and he left it on Bane's kitchen countertop, which is weird that he was in his house.
He went up 8.3 points per game, which is actually more than everybody else on that list.
Okay.
Right. So that's the thing. So, yeah, it's great.
So the most improved player is just because he scored more points? That's the improvement was that?
He improved his stats the most. So, yeah, you can be great.
I mean, I think it's weak sauce they gave it to a guy.
It's not weak sauce.
Yes, it is.
No.
Darius Garland improved by 4 points.
Your arguments are becoming.
Like, sure, there's other stats. Yes. There's rebounds and assists, but Ja did improve a lot.
I understand he improved a lot.
You knew who he was. He's drafted second, so you're very aware of Ja
Morant. And he was a rookie of the year.
But he improved a ton.
And he's been an all-star. Was he an all-star? I say that, but maybe he hasn't been. I feel like he's been an all-star.
Yeah. He was this year.
Okay. So you're telling me that that guy, yes, he can still improve, but he's that much more improved than these other cats? That DeJounte Murray, did you know who he was before the season? Did you know who that cat was? Did you know that he played for the Spurs?
Does that make you most improved? No.
Go from a nobody to a 20-plus point scorer and an all-star. He was an all-star this year in the West.
That's great.
In the West.
16 points per game last year. Is that a nobody? Like, you didn't hear about him.
Lauri Markkanen scores 16 points a game for the Cavs. He's a nobody.
Do you see how quickly he shifted?
I'm just saying. Let's just talk about it.
Hey, I don't need you two ganging up on me.
It's
okay?
Fine. It's okay. Look, okay. Listen. So, let's take a step back.
Because this will get like WWE.
It will get. This will get crazy real quick. Right now, it's 52-36. The Mavericks, are beating the Utah Jazz. This is going to be a very interesting playoff season, I think, going into these next few weeks because we have a lot of 2-2s. We have the Golden State series is 3-1. That's going to
be
wrapped
over.
Up, right?
Yeah.
With who's going to come out of the East now, it's either going to be Milwaukee or Miami. I mean, Boston. Boston looks good. Are they going to be able to keep up that level of play?
I think Boston over Miami, but I think...
But Boston's going to have to play Milwaukee next.
So the winner of that's going to move on. Okay.
And then I still think Phoenix is going to come down to it against Golden State in the West.
Okay, and you're probably going to be right. Gosh, I did not.
I mean, look at we came back healthy. The Warriors, you look at Stephen Curry. You look at Poole. Klay Thompson
is over Jordan Poole. He's already over him. You should see the body language so there's a clip out there of him looking for the pass because he's open for the jump shot and Jordan Poole just like doesn't do it and Klay just throws his hands down and like walks away. He waddles away all mad, looking like Jackie Moon with his little headband and his afro.
Klay always has that he looks like he has an attitude and wants to like.
No, bro, he pouted and walked away. He threw his hands down and was like, I don't get the ball. And he ran off the other side of the court. It was very funny. So he's over there. There's a riff, is all I'm saying. There's a riff.
If there's no riff. You're creating a riff. You miss an open thing.
Listen, if I could create a riff, I would create that riff.
You're from Ohio. Yes, we know this.
Let's do this real quick. Let's talk about a guy that did create a riff. A riff in the NBA, a riff amongst players, teammates, friends, coaches, past, present, and future. Ben Simmons.
His outfit?
It all goes into it. All of it. His outfit.
This guy is blowing
my
mind.
He looks like Ronald McDonald at a rave with these outfits, bro. You say you have mental health issues. Okay.
We're not going to go there.
But let's say you do. Okay. Then maybe part of that would be maybe let's be less, let's be unassuming. Not wear the loudest outfits you can to a game that you're not going to play in when you could have played supposedly on, maybe not, and then to not show up at the end.
Stop going back and forth.
Them for their money. You could have said, hey, I'm out. There's a lot of guys, Pat brought up earlier, there's a lot of guys that step away from the game for a year or so.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot, but it does happen, and they can come back. If he would have, and in this day and age, if a guy was to step away from the NBA, specifically the NBA too, for mental health awareness, teams would be like, yes, please do. We'll welcome you back with open arms. It's a lot more.
Nowadays it is.
Yes.
But he is a laughingstock after saying he's going to be a game time for game three. And then they are now down. They lose. Right. What was that? 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then come into game four and you're probably going to get swept. And all of a sudden you wake up with back soreness.
And maybe he did.
Shut
it down then.
I'm telling you.
Should have already shut it down.
You have to at least try. You can show up to practice and you're dunking the ball, you're running around. I know it's not full speed, but you haven't even given it a minute. Go out there for 30 seconds, two up and back. What is that going to hurt? At least get your mindset right.
Agreed.
The fact that you can't even do that, you're going to pay $20 million. You were supposed to be this huge stud coming out of Australia, the next LeBron James, a 6'10 with amazing defensive skills and could dribble the ball.
Yeah, he was rookie. He was rookie of the year. He's been an all-star. He was all defensive first team.
I don't want to say he's a joke, but it's becoming
has become a joke. And what the problem is in today's day and age, because he doesn't have, thick skin, it seems like.
No, he doesn't.
That he's not going to, this is going to be a hard road to come back from. I'm not saying he can't, but it's going to be a hard road to come back to get in the good graces with people because everybody thinks that you're a quitter now.
And
this is when you got guys that are ex-players, not like ex-players that are on TV. Some of them, that just say stuff to say stuff. But like Jay Will, who's on ESPN mornings, I think he's pretty credible with what he says. I couldn't even look in the eye.
Yeah.
And he meant that. And he knows they're listening because these guys all have ears. Someone's telling them.
What the Brooklyn Nets did to support him coming into the playoffs, and even when they played at Philly, right? Towards the end of the regular season. They supported him. I would not support him if I'm Kevin Durant, Kyrie. How do I know even if you play all 82 games next year and then we go into the playoffs, so when it comes down to it, do I want you next to me? No.
No.
No. It's not going to happen. The playoffs are going to be really, really good.
They are. They already are.
The fact that we just now have our first second rounder is a showing of that. But what is actually really interesting, and here's one of my crazy stats.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time since 2005 that we have not seen KD or LeBron in the second round of the playoffs.
Wow.
So we're talking 17 years now?
Yeah, it's a good run.
That's a crazy. Good run.
And who's to say, you know, real quick with Kevin Durant, just kind of tie this up. You know, he's 34 now. He's got a lot of miles on those legs, on those, you know. Not everybody is LeBron. You know, not everybody can play till year 19 at the elite level that he is. Some make it to 19. You know, they kind of cruising on fumes. You know, they maybe get, you know, stop, be a little pump of gas, you know, yeah. Every once in a while. You know, they get a little 5 gallon in there and they have a good game, but like they're really just barely getting by.
In Miami, he's still, he'll still
dude,
mess you up.
305. He'll mess up his Mr. 305. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So I get it. Mm. But are we watching the decline in Kevin Durant?
Yes. You shouldn't have left the Warriors.
That's an ESPN line if I've ever heard it.
You shouldn't have left the Warriors. He wanted to prove that he can carry a team. No, you can't.
Well, he didn't do his due diligence. He didn't do his due diligence, obviously, and talk to anybody that played with Kyrie Irving to really know who you're getting.
Who I thought was the most selfish person until I met Ben Simmons.
You met Ben Simmons?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Me?
You're the Ben Simmons.
Except for this part. Yeah, this is the only. Only because we look the same, okay?
But
I'm a better shooter.
Okay.
And we're both left-handed. I can effectively say I'm a better free throw shooter than Ben Simmons because I am.
Left-handed free throw shooter.
Granted, I haven't had to shoot one in front of 22,000 people before. Maybe that's a little different. But if that's the case and that's his problem, that says more about, again, going back to the mental weakness, not issue.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Fortitude.
Okay.
Gut sack. Whatever you want to call it.
He doesn't have it. Whatever you want to call it.
Certainly doesn't seem like it.
So, real quick, I want to talk about something with my hometown Oakland A's. Have you seen this? How bad their attendance has been?
As bad, probably as bad as the Diamondbacks here at 26% capacity, still trying to charge $40 for nosebleeds. Get out of here.
In 2018, they opened up the top, the nosebleeds. If you're from the Bay Area, you know that this is very, very few and far between for the Raiders games back in the day or the A's games. But they maxed out and they had 56,000 people mm-hmm. in attendance, okay? On the 20th of this year, there were 2,703 people at the A's game.
I believe it.
They're almost more cats. They have a feline problem. There's like, they say, roughly 30 cats that are underneath the
stadium. I mean, ratio-wise, yeah.
I mean, the A's are going to get a new stadium, whether it's in Vegas or in Oakland, but
it'll end up being in Vegas. Real quick, to finish this up, MLB, real quick. Yankees fans, not all of them, but most of them,
what
trash. Classless trash. And I'm glad it happened. I like seeing all the videos. Okay, so we got that real quick. Angel Hernandez, retire. You need to be done. You're the worst ump in baseball. I've been the worst ump in baseball for 10 years. Kyle Schwarber should have taken your head off with that bat. Thirdly, real quick, little stat fact. Tony Gwynn could have gone 0 for 1,199 at the end of his career and still finished with a 300 hitter. Think about that. 300 and could still win 0 for 1,200. Unbelievable. Next West. Next week,
time.
James out West. Monday, Rooks, Pat, Aaron. See ya.
Try with the draft.